The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I have a tale for you of blackmail and evil, of a decent man living under the shadow of the crimes of a mass murderer. The Bible admonishes us to revere and love our fathers, but in our story it is impossible for the son to do so. The bloody connotation of the name he bears makes a heavy weight on his back that he feels can never be removed. The Holy Testament warns us that the sins of the father are visited upon the son. Richard Walters discovers the truth of these ancient words.
Hello, Walter.
Who is that?
You know me, Walter, for a long time.
No, I don't know you. I'm too busy.
No, don't hang up. It is better you make conversation with me. Better for you.
I'll give you 10 seconds.
I do it quicker than 10 seconds. Walter... Mad Dog is living.
Oh, good Lord.
Our mystery drama, Funeral Without a Corpse, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Norman Rose. I'll be back in a moment with Act One.
To help prevent thefts at home or school, depend on a master in theft prevention. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you get a master padlock and chain, now just $4.99 as True Value Hardware Store's August Hardware Value of the Month. This 4-foot vinyl-covered steel chain and master padlock set is great for locking up bikes at school, or use it at home to protect ladders and grills from thieves. Get your master chain and padlock for just $4.99 while supplies last during August at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
Weekdays on CBS Television. Wake up to comedy with One Day at a Time.
You really think you're hot stuff, don't you, Shiner?
Ladies in this building, don't call me super for nothing.
Then, keep laughing as Mel lays down the law on Alice.
There is only one rule in a restaurant business, Vera. Get them to swallow it.
And... The Price is Right with the priceless Bob Barker. That's One Day at a Time, Alice and the Price is Right, weekdays on CBS Television. Check your local listings for the time.
Life got tough, they say, but you roll up your sleeves, build a better day.
Household Finance is backing Russ Pilarski.
You get to such a point, you don't want to quit until you find an answer.
110% effort. It's evident in the architectural drawings Russ creates.
It's more than just pretty and ugly. There's guts to a building.
Make the most of every chance, and we're backing you all the way. Household Finance.
When I see that building up, that's me. That building's me. It's like, wow, I did that. It's my contribution.
HFC is proud of what we hear from folks like Russ, and we're backing them with personal loans up to $5,000 or more. Fast, confidential service and manageable repayment plans. If you're working for a better life, you're the person we want to back at Household Finance.
We're here today giving folks a chance.
Walters was in an excellent mood when he entered his apartment that chilly winter afternoon. There was a pleasant wood fire burning, and Pauline was waiting for him with a cool drink. Seeing his attractive wife standing there, smiling at him, he thought that fortune had been very good to him. He was a successful lawyer and was now serving his city as district attorney. His political party had spoken to him about running for governor. His future looked bright.
Darling, right on time. Your secretary called and said you'd be home early.
Yes, she told me that you called and said that it was important. What's the secret?
No secret, Richard. You know we've had this dinner date for weeks. It's for you. You are going to be tapped on the shoulder and told that they want you to run for governor.
Oh, that. So you know about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to surprise you. That's why you're all done up,
Richard, you're impossible. You know how important this is to your career, and you seem to treat it with such indifference.
Not indifference. I'm very excited and trying not to show it. But I was wondering whether I should accept.
Accept? Richard, it's an important step up for you, your career.
Well, I wanted to see how you felt about it. If you would rather I went back into private practice.
And give up the chance of being governor? Oh, darling, after all these years, you must know me better than that.
You want to be the governor's lady,
huh? Mm-hmm, and then on to higher things, the highest.
No, dear, not that. I'd have to be a native-born American to get that high office.
I don't see why.
Well, in the Constitution, and I don't think that Congress is about to change it just to make you first lady, you'll just have to be satisfied with first lady of the state.
Well, if you're a first man, that will be good enough for me. Oh, Richard Walters for governor. Well, you better get into your dinner jacket and black tie.
Don't rush me.
Oh, Richard, a call came for you earlier.
Well, our number is unlisted. Very few people know it. I'd be driven out of my mind with crank calls and people wanting favors.
Well, it was someone who said that he is an old friend.
He? Did he give his name?
No, but he called you Walter. Mr. Walter, he said. With a V. Isn't that the German way of saying W?
Oh, yes. He didn't leave his name?
No, said he would call back. Oh, maybe that's him calling back. Want to get it?
Yes. No, I better not. Pauline, you answer it and say that I'm unavailable.
But, darling...
I do not want to talk to him.
Richard!
I said I don't want to speak to him, Pauline, and I meant it.
And may I say, in conclusion, that I am most gratified by your confidence in me. You can be certain that I will not let you down. Even as governor, my city is still my city. Thank you.
Hey, let's give it a call. Give it to the Walters.
Yes?
A man on the line, Mr. Walters, says he's an old friend. Didn't give his name. Said he wanted to surprise you.
Look, I am busy with the Lombardi case, and I don't like surprises.
Shall I tell him to call back?
I don't care what you tell him. Tell him that I'm too busy to play games.
Yes, sir.
No, Mary. Mary... put him on.
Hello, Walter.
What? Who is that?
You know me, Walter, for a long time.
No, I don't know you, and I...
No. Do not hang up. It is better if you make conversation with me. Better for you.
Is this some kind of practical joke? Look, I'm a busy man, and I have no time for this sort of nonsense.
This is not nonsense, Walter. You would not see me. So I call from public phone. Better listen.
I'll give you 10 seconds.
I do it quicker than 10 seconds. Walter, Mad Dog is living.
Oh, good Lord.
Richard, is that you?
Yes, dear.
Well, your unlisted phone's been ringing all afternoon.
Did you answer it?
You told me not to. You look worried.
Worried? What about? Why should I be worried?
I don't know, but you're fidgety. You didn't sleep very well last night. And take a look in the mirror. Your brow is all furrowed.
You sure worry about me, don't you?
Yes, I do. You're very important to me.
Oh, Pauline, after all these years...
I love you, Richard, and I'm unhappy when you're unhappy. Now, come on, tell me what it is.
Well, it's nothing.
It's those telephone calls that you don't want to answer. Afraid to answer?
Afraid? Yes, you're right. Afraid describes it very well.
Tell me.
I can't.
But maybe I can help.
No one can help. It has to be my secret.
Forever? It's something in your past?
That I can tell you. It is something long past.
Oh, I see.
Now, wait a minute. I don't think I like the sound of that.
It's another woman, isn't it?
What? Oh, Pauline.
Someone you loved a long time ago?
Ridiculous.
I'm not jealous, Richard.
You are jealous. And I love you for it. It's very flattering. But you have nothing to worry about on that score.
Then why can't you tell me?
Because it's something that may change my entire life. Perhaps destroy it.
Nothing can change my love for you.
I wouldn't be too sure of that, Pauline.
Aren't you going to answer it?
I may as well.
You have a nice big car, Walter. Expensive.
It is not expensive, and it is not my car. It belongs to the city. I have the use of it.
For your position, you are important. The attorney, how you say?
District attorney.
Yes. Important man. District attorney.
Look, I don't believe that you wanted to see me so urgently merely to discuss my job.
Why not? You are important. You inherit your ability from
now, stop it. Now say what you came to say and then get out.
You talk to me that way? I who have known you since you were a child.
You never knew me, Terhunk. You knew of me.
And you knew of me.
I have spent 40 years trying to forget you and what you stood for.
And that was not important to you? Our ideals.
Our goals. I loathed it. All of it.
And your father?
Don't speak of him.
It is shameful for a son not to love his own father.
From the time I was 9, I hated him. My hate was just a tiny speck compared to the mountain of hate he generated.
This is sinful, father-son.
Look, let's not go on with this. Why did you come?
He is alive. And he sent me to you.
You're lying. I went back and checked all the records. He and many other murderers escaped to Argentina when they saw that the war was lost. They should have caught him. Destroyed him as he did so many others.
Do not say that. He is your father.
No, not mine. I would do anything to erase the relationship. I cannot call him mine.
He is alive and sick. And he needs you.
The records show that he died in Buenos Aires 5 years ago.
No, he did not die.
He was in all the papers, pictures of his funeral.
False. All false. The funeral without a corpse. Empty casket.
For what reason?
Reason. To save his life. They were getting closer every day. 30 or more assassins to kill him. It was the only way. A brilliant idea. He thought of it. No. Mad Dog lives.
I see.
And now comes the big question. He is old. He is sick. You will help him, will you not?
No, I will not help him.
That is bad. I must go back to him and say, your son hates you. He will not hold out his hand.
Hold out my hand to that vicious murderer?
Oh, I regret to think what he will say and do.
What?
You are an important man. You have changed your name. Nobody knows you are the son. His only son. He asks out of need. But you have no pity. People will say how bad it is for a son to deny his father. Everyone will know you are his son.
Well, you took a long time getting around to it, Terhunk. But you made it very clear. This is blackmail. How much do you want?
No. I never ask for anything. It is for your father.
No. I never ask for anything. Your father. Look, this is blackmail, and I've got you cold. I could send you up for 10 years.
You mean to jail? To prison?
You understand English very well. Everything you've said to me is recorded. I have a tape recorder in this car.
Yes. I understand. So, you have trapped me. Very good. You are a good policeman. But you don't want everyone to know how related you are to Walter Gunther. Do you, Walter? That's why you have changed your name. You're not speaking. You're starting to think. You're going to be the next governor of the state. That is a very big, important position. And will people in this country vote for the son of Walter Gunther? You do not answer. Please do stop the car. I will let off. Thank you, son of Walter Gunther. It was a pleasant ride. You will hear from me.
Richard, is that you?
Yes, Paulie.
Darling, you're so late. I called your office and they said that...
That I went out and I didn't come back to the office.
Where were you?
Well, I was just driving around. Just driving.
Have you had dinner? Irma put your plate in the fridge. I can warm it up.
No, thank you, dear. I'm not hungry.
Glass of milk? Nice piece of chocolate cake? Irma made it for you. Your favorite.
Well, thank Irma for me. Oh, I'm exhausted. What time is it?
Nearly midnight.
Ooh, I had no idea that I'd been out that late. Well, I think I'll have a shower and hit the hay.
Richard, something's bothering you.
You know, Pauline, you're wonderful. You're always the first to notice.
Can't you tell me? Can't you?
I'm going to tell you. I must.
Now?
No. Not now. You see, I've got to get my courage up first.
All his life, Richard Walters had lived with a fear that his real name would be revealed. Now that he is faced with the imminent exposure of the fact that he is the son of a hated war criminal, he can't make up his mind what course to pursue. If he speaks out and tells the world that he is Walter Gunther's son, his career will end. If he keeps this hidden, there is only one thing he can do. Yield to the blackmailer. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Man, if your hair is a streaky, mousy, tired-looking gray, you don't like it. But the last thing in the world you would do is dye it a solid, dark color. Your friends would laugh at you. Colorex is the answer to men's tired-looking gray hair. Colorex lets you decide the color of your hair, whether you leave the cream on 3 minutes for light brown, 5 minutes for medium brown, or 10 minutes for a richer brown. Your hair will have the highlights that make hair look natural. Colorex, generous 2 to 4 month supply. Use only as directed.
Well, from smoking, my fingers are always stained, and those tobacco stains aren't easy to get off. I never gave much thought to the fact that, you know, my teeth were tobacco stained, too, until I started seeing that Topol commercial on television.
Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish, a special combination of polishing agents and a rich foaming cleaner formulated to help remove ugly yellow tobacco stains. Topol is gentle enough to be used instead of regular toothpaste.
Uh-huh. Oh, I smile a lot more now.
Topol, mint flavor in the blue package, fluoride in the red.
Today, look into her eyes. It's there. The question that goes unasked. It's slightly outrageous for a mother and a helpmate and a counselor and a friend to ask, but today, look into her eyes and see it. And when you see it, you'll go out and buy her a fur coat. No, more than a fur coat, a York fur. And luck of all Lux, York Furrier in Elmhurst is having its August fur sale. You can now save hundreds, even thousands of dollars on fox, lynx, raccoon, sable, and York's famous natural mink. Savings on every coat in York's huge collection. And if you come in now, you can lay away a beautiful fur for Christmas at the low August fur sale price. And when she sees her York fur, you will have answered her question. And she'll love you for it.
The finest furrier in the world. York Furrier of Elmhurst, helping you to say it best for more than a half century. 107 North York Road, Elmhurst.
Despite the fact that Richard Walters trusts Pauline, his wife, he cannot bring himself to tell even her his secret. He has held it to himself so long that it is an effort to let go, to tell someone else the shame and unhappiness that secret has cost him. As for the rest, he is certain that he will be forced to give up all the constructive things he has done with his life and sink into oblivion. He sits in his office, still undecided.
Richard Walter's office, may I help you? Oh, yes, Captain Gallagher, I'll connect you.
Yes. Oh, Neil. What? Oh, yes, my unlisted phone, thanks. What's the new number? Well, you know the people who get that information. Please take care of it. Let me have that number again. 555-8763. I got it, Neil, thanks. Yes, Mary?
Man to see you, Mr. Walters and Mr. Terhunk.
Oh, yes, Mary, I've been expecting him.
Is it the witness on the Lombardi case?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the Lombardi case. Mm-hmm.
Well, then you want me to take down his statement?
No, not right now. I want to go over it with him first.
Yes, sir, I'll send him right in.
Oh, come in. Come in, Mr. Terhunk. You've got your nerve barging in here. You know this would be very bad
please,
for me.
Please, please, Walter. This is the only way I can reach you. I call up on your private number. It has been changed. I call your number of your house. Also changed. So how else can I discuss with you our important business?
What do you want? Whatever it is, I'll try to give it to you. Tell me.
Now you are being more cooperative. Is that not the right word?
Yes. Yes, that's the right word.
The right word is dollars. I will need them right away.
How much?
Very small. Not much. Now you are a man with dollars. I am not.
Look, I am not rich. I work for my money. How much?
5,000. That is all. I do not ask unreasonable money.
For your information, 5,000 is a lot of money to me.
Oh, I am so sorry. I would not ask if I did not need.
Yes. Well, it'll take me a little time to get it for you.
Yes, yes, yes. It will take a little time. That is no matter.
Well, I'm glad to see you're not expecting me to pull it out of my hat like a stage magician.
Very amusing. You will have the money for me at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, yes? I will be waiting.
9 o'clock?
Tomorrow. In front of your bank. I will be waiting. First National Republic Bank. It opens at 9. You will be there when the door opens. And you will have some money for me in bills, small bills, $10, $20. Not larger. Is that clear, Walter?
That is not going to be easy.
Is that clear, Walter? Yes.
Cold and clear. Like a weather report.
Good. I will meet you at 9 tomorrow.
You're not very talkative tonight, Richard.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I said you seemed to be lost in your thoughts. I spoke to you twice. You didn't answer.
I'm sorry, Pauline.
That thing is bothering you. Won't you tell me? Maybe I can help.
I'll tell you, Pauline, when I can. I'm considering dropping this whole political nomination.
You mean for the governorship? You can't. You're the right man for the job. You're the best man.
Well, I may not get it.
Of course you'll get it, by a landslide. Governor Messler admits he's facing a tough race with you as his opponent.
Well, I may not run. I've just about made up my mind to tell Kimball to find another man.
I really don't understand this at all.
I'm afraid, Pauline. Oh, God, I've never been so unhappy, so depressed in my life. It feels as if I were finished.
Your car phone is ringing.
I'll let it ring.
It might be important. They'd never call you unless it was.
Well, get it for me. It may be somebody that I don't want to speak to.
Hello?
This is Matt Kimball.
Oh, Mr. Kimball, I'll put Richard on. He's right beside me. Matt Kimball, Richard.
Hi, Mac. Just talking about you a moment ago.
Sorry to call you on your car phone. I know you reserve that for business calls.
Oh, it's okay. I'm guessing it's important.
It is, Dick. It is.
Well, can you tell me?
Well, I'd rather not over the phone. Can you meet me someplace? My office?
Oh, sure. Pauline and I were... Well, it's nothing important. What time?
As soon as you can make it. Here, there's someone here I want you to meet.
Who?
Again, I've got to say, not over the phone.
Well, okay. I'll see you in 15 minutes. Harrison?
Yes, sir?
You're dropping me at Mr. Kimball's office. Mrs. Walters is going on to the Garveys.
Yes, sir.
What did Kimball want?
Well, something serious to discuss. Someone at his office he wants me to see. I have the faintest idea what it's all about.
Haven't you, Richard? Haven't you?
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Lately, everything seems to be focused on one thought.
You come in. Well, Dick, you made it in 12 minutes on the dot.
Put me down as a prompt guy.
Shut the door, will you?
Why all the cloak and dagger stuff, Kimball?
Well, it's kind of confidential. I guess you noticed that there was no one in the outer office.
Oh, yeah, your secretary was missing.
I didn't want even her to hear what I'm going to tell you. Sent her home early. I want your opinion, and it must be strictly confidential.
You're certainly making this into a mystery.
I'll let you have it straight. As head of the committee to elect Richard Walters for governor of this sovereign state...
Oh, no speeches, please.
Okay. We need money. Lots of it. Electing a candidate for an important office costs real dough.
I realize. Three, maybe as much as 4 million. What do we have in the till at the moment?
Nearly two. And we've worked hard to get promises for that much.
Bottom of the barrel.
Well, not quite. We have an unsolicited offer that'll make up what we need.
From whom?
See for yourself. He's here in the other room. You want to talk to him?
I don't know. I've been around long enough to know that no one makes an offer like that out of the goodness of his heart. He wants something.
What? He hasn't said. He wants to speak to you.
No, Mac. No deal. I've never played politics, and I don't intend to start now with future promises for favors.
Not even to be governor.
Not even for that.
Well, aren't you curious to know who it is?
Yes. And I'd like to warn him before he starts to talk that one hint of a deal and I'll go to work on him. Now let him come in.
Yeah, sure. Just as you say. Come in. Yeah. Come in, Max.
Max Kiro.
Yes, Mr. Walters, Max Kiro.
Tell him what I said, Kimball.
He says it's no deal if you want something in return.
I ain't asking for nothing. Didn't I tell you that, Kimball?
Nothing? No favor?
Nothing means nothing, Mr. Walters.
I don't get it. You're willing to give $1 million for no reason at all?
I'm clean now. You sent me up. I did my time. I got paroled in 3 years. And I thought it over when I was in stir. What was the point of it, huh? My two brothers I lost, my father dead, body never found. And what for?
For money. Dirty money, Max. We know all this.
Yeah. Dirty money. I didn't have nothing when I came out of the pen. I started fresh with a few bucks I got from the insurance of my father.
Come on, you didn't come here to give me the sad story of your life,
Mr.
Max.
Mr. Walters, I got the money to help you. I got a big sanitation business, a big laundry business, real estate. It's all clean money. Legitimate.
You sure? Clean?
Clean. I made it honest. Go ahead, get your CPAs to go over my books. I'm clean.
You sure you didn't launder some of the dirty bucks in your laundry?
That ain't funny. Now look, I come here and I make an offer of $1 million for Mr. Walters' run for governor. I mean it.
Why? That is the big question.
Because you did something for me. And I want to pay you back.
Did something for you? I sent you up for 7 years. I wanted to send you up for life, but I couldn't get enough evidence. And you want to help me?
Mr. Walters, when I was in stir, I got to thinking. I knew I didn't want no more the kind of life I had. You know, I started to read in a prison library. I never read a book before. It was an education.
Okay, cut it short, Max. It changed your life.
It sure did. And it turned out good for me. You know, if I'd have kept up the old life, I'd have been dead, like my brothers and my father. Mr. Walters, you did it for me.
You know, this is the most amazing story that I have ever heard.
Yeah? What do you say, Richard?
Well, I'm flattered. I don't know what to say. Look, give me a day or so to think it over. There are several reasons why we should not accept.
And one very good reason why we should. Thanks, Max, for your generous offer. We'll let you know.
Where's Pauline?
I heard you get up about 30 minutes ago, and then I heard you pacing up and down.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I went into the library, tried to read something to make me sleepy.
You mean to take your mind off of what's bothering you?
Yeah. I had one burden, and now I have two. I can't think of any way to rid myself of either of them.
And now you've decided to tell me what they are?
Well, I'm taking a big chance, Pauline. It may change everything between us.
If you think that, you don't really know me. Well?
Do you know the name Walter Gunter?
Yes, he was a wanted war criminal. He had thousands put to death.
Walter Gunter is my father. Yeah. I hated him. I hated my name. I ran away when I was 12.
And you never told me that?
I never told anyone. I was ashamed of it. Ashamed to be the son of a mad dog. I ran away. Away from my father and everything he believes in.
How did you get here?
I became one of the lost children in the hordes of children dislocated because of the war. I was picked up by a children's relief society. I ran away from the orphanage and got to the American sector. The war was over and the American military government had taken over. I hung around, running errands, doing menial jobs, making myself useful whenever I could. And it was there that I met my new father, Sergeant Richard Walters. Later, I took his name. Pauline, he took a shine to me, and he asked me if I would like to go back to the States with him. He told me that he and his wife had never had any children, and that I would be his son.
And he adopted you. And you never told me.
Well, it was too painful for me to go into. Pauline, I meant to tell you one day. You know, they sent me to college and to law school. It's a big sacrifice for them. They didn't have much money. Whew. They were wonderful people, and I miss them.
I remember just a few weeks after we were married, when word came that they were dead, killed in a car crash outside of Dayton. We flew out to Ohio for the funeral.
Just a week before, they had written that they would like to come here and meet you. And I love them both very much. If the truth gets out that I'm the son of Walter Gunter, the mad dog murderer...
Tell everyone the truth. Tell them what happened.
No, it won't help. My career will be over.
Richard, you can't go on this way.
I'm being blackmailed, Pauline. Right now, I am being bled dry just so I can hold the secret.
You mean that man, Terhunk?
Yeah. Yes, I've given him quite a bit of money. He'll be making regular collections.
And if you stop paying?
Well, he'll spill the whole filthy story to the news media. And that'll be the end of Richard Walters. The election will be lost, and I'll be finished with everything.
Well, then we'll go on paying him.
We?
Look, I am partner to this now. I've got a good deal of money that my father left me. I'll use it. Pay him.
It may seem like a lot to you, Pauline, but it'll never be enough.
Then what can we do?
Well, there are only two things that can be done about a blackmailer. One, to go on paying and paying.
And the other?
I don't want to think about that.
Told Pauline that he doesn't want to think about the alternative to paying and paying his blackmail. But she knows what he means. He can see no light at the end of the long and gloomy tunnel. He knows he will continue to give Terhunk what he wants until there is no more to give. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Hotel coupon and discount offers are confusing and limited. That's why the world's largest lodging chain invites you to call Best Western before you call anyone else. Chances are you'll find the Best Western just where you need it most, at a price you'll want to pay. No strings attached. Call 1-800-528-1234. Best Western. 1-800-528-1234. Best Western.
down to cure. Bill Bixby with a message from the Leukemia Society of America.
Leukemia is responsible for the deaths of more children than any other disease, and more adults than children. Research by the Leukemia Society of America has brought us this close to finding a cure, but we need your help to continue the fight. It'll be a happy day when we put an end to this killer. It's a matter of time.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Life got tough, they say, but you roll up your sleeves, build a better day.
Household Finance is backing Darlene Spavichik.
Nursing, I don't think, is a real big thing. It's a lot of little things put together.
There's not a patient Darlene treats who can resist her positive outlook.
Could be a little kid that just holds onto your hand in the middle of the night because Mama and Papa aren't there.
Make the most of every chance, and we're backing you all the way. Household Finance.
You go in there and you try your hardest. And even when times get rough, you find a solution, but you don't stop trying.
HFC can't help admiring Darlene's enthusiasm. And we're backing folks like her with personal loans up to $5,000 or more. Fast, confidential service and manageable repayment plans. If you're working for a better life, you're the person we want to back at Household Finance.
We're here today giving folks a chance.
Later, and Richard hasn't given his campaign manager, Kimball, his answer regarding Max Kiro's wish to make a big contribution to the campaign fund. In Richard's opinion, it was dangerous and could lead to the sort of scandal that would kill his chances of being governor. Despite what Max says about not wanting anything in return, the danger of a rumor that Richard Gunter had sold out to the underworld was too risky. Moreover, he still has to deal with Terhunk, and that is becoming more difficult.
Yes, Mary?
Call for you, Mr. Walters and Mr. Terhunk.
Put him on hold, Mary.
Yes, sir.
And have Captain Gallagher put a find on him.
You want to know where he's calling from?
That's what I mean. Call me back as soon as Captain Gallagher... No, wait a minute. On second thought, Mary. Cancel that.
Cancel?
Yeah, I changed my mind. Is Terhunk still on hold? I'll take it. Yes?
You are being, jealous. Are you trying to make me annoyed? I do not like treatment of this nature.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terhunk, but I was busy and I couldn't speak with you immediately.
You will understand this, Walter, that I am most important. I will come first. Your other affairs will wait till I am complete.
You want money again?
Oh, you are surprised. Have you not expected that I would need it? Your father would need it?
Yes, yes. 5,000 small bills.
9 o'clock. In front of the bank. I will be waiting. Oh, you are quick to learn. A good student. Only one thing is different this next time. You will have 10,000, not 5.
10? Look, I don't know how much longer I can keep this up.
You will keep it up because you love your father.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.
He speaks always of how much he loves you in his letters.
It will be a total of 15,000. Only 7 days since I gave you 5. What are you doing with that money? Does my father need that much to live on?
No. No, no. I tell you very frankly, he does not need all that for himself. It goes to finance the organization.
What is that?
Don't you know? We are growing strong, stronger. We will be coming back. We will take our country back and we will rule the world as he wanted it. And all our enemies will be dead. Goodbye now, Walter. And your father thanks you. Your money is very important to our cause.
Good Lord. Doing?
Yes, Mr. Walters.
Mary, call for my car and tell them to bring it around right away. I'm going home early. I'll wait downstairs in front of the tobacco shop in the lobby.
Yes, sir.
And if I get any calls, just say that I'm out and cannot be reached.
Mr. Walters.
What? Oh, it's you, Kiro.
Yeah. Just going to see up in your office. I got it on a grapevine that you was having a kind of a problem.
Oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. And I don't want to discuss it.
Oh, come on, Mr. Walters.
Now stop it, Max. I see my car out front.
Look, I can help you.
Call me at 555-8763. Well, thank you, Mr. K, for your good wishes. Hello?
Mr. Walters, it's Max. Can you talk?
Yeah. Yes, I'm alone. Go ahead.
I said I could help you.
How?
You got a leech on your back.
What?
A bloodsucker. A leech.
Yeah, what you're saying is that I am being blackmailed. How do you know?
I know. I still got connections. I know. I want to do something about it.
What?
Get him off your back.
And, how would you accomplish that?
What difference does it make? What do you have to know for? He wouldn't be bothering you no more.
Max, you told me that you were clean, that you were straight.
I am. And that's the truth.
I know what you mean when you say you'll stop him, Max. Is that your idea of straight?
It wouldn't be me. I wouldn't even know about it. You wouldn't know. The trouble would just stop.
No, Max. It's not the way I think.
Yeah. I get it. All right. What about my offer? The money?
Well, I'm seeing Kimball tonight. We're going to settle a lot of things. Thanks for your concern.
I didn't give you anything yet.
Your confidence, Max. I really appreciate it. Goodbye.
Richard, I hate to bother you, but Mr. Kimball is here.
Have him come in, Pauline.
Well, hi there, Governor.
Yeah.
What's all the mystery?
No mystery, maybe a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get you a drink?
Sure, but what's the occasion?
Kimball, I'm going to tell you something that may change everything we planned.
Change?
Explode, blow up, demolish would be better words. Mac, I am not the man you think I am. My name is Walter Gunter. And that, Kimball, is the end of a long and sordid story. And the end of my political career.
Well, now just cool it, Dick. Okay, your old man was a war criminal, but you weren't. You hated him and everything he stood for. You ran away. You changed your name.
But don't you see? I'm going to be running for governor. What do you think the opposition is going to do with that piece of information? Nah. Better write me off, Mac. Better get a new man before it's too late.
You let the committee decide that, Dick.
But...
No buts. You're the best man. You're our man. We are not letting you go too quickly. Now, what about your father in Argentina?
He's dead. Been dead for 5 years.
Then Terhunker, whatever his name is, was lying.
I got a radiogram this afternoon. The authorities assure me that he died from a massive cerebral hemorrhage. They're sending me a copy of his death certificate.
Lying or not, the fact that your father is dead doesn't change matters. As far as blackmail is concerned, this Terhon character is just as dangerous to your reputation as he was. You think we can buy him off? Maybe a big piece of change would do it.
No. He'll take anything we give him. Make promises which you'll never keep, and come back for more.
I guess you're right.
That's only half the problem. Max Kiro's donation seems the only way the committee can come up with enough money to finance the cost of electing me. How would it look if a former public enemy came up with a big chunk of it?
But Max is clean now.
It wouldn't matter if he had angel wings and a halo. I can hear the opposition. I can see the headlines.
Yeah, well, forget Max. I'm working on it.
Hey, what was that?
It sounded like a gunshot. Came from the other room. It won't open. It's locked.
Pauline is in there. Pauline! Pauline, are you all right? Pauline! Oh, Pauline, what is it? We heard a shot.
Richard, what have I done? What have I done?
Get the pistol out of her hand, Richard. Give it to me, Pauline.
Here. I didn't want to use it. I just wanted to frighten him.
Him?
That terrible man.
Ooh, terrible. Look there on the floor.
Good Lord. Call a doctor, Richard.
Yes, a doctor.
I asked him to come here. I said I would give him $50,000 if he would promise not to bother us anymore.
Hello, Dr. Pocket.
He agreed?
Yes.
Richard Walters, there's been an accident.
But as soon as I handed him the money, he said, thank you.
No, we've not even examined.
I'll be back next week for another
and can you summon an ambulance?
He laughed.
But good. Good, hurry.
A doctor's coming and an ambulance, too. Now, look, Pauline, what happened? Please try to control yourself, darling.
Richard, I shot him. It was an accident. I just wanted to scare him.
She gave him money, and he laughed at her, and he said he'd be back for more.
Money? To shut him up?
I said I could help you. I took it out of the money Father left me.
You knew that man wasn't to be trusted to keep his word.
I was desperate. I just wanted to help you.
And you took my gun.
Just to scare him, Richard. It's for protection. I pointed it at him, and it went off.
Well, Pauline, if you shot at him, you missed him.
Missed him? Well, isn't he dead?
Yes, he's dead, all right. Probably the shot scared him. It looks like he died from heart failure.
Hey, Richard.
Kimball.
It looks pretty good, Richard. Autopsy report is death from heart failure. Terhunk suffered from congenital heart disease. According to the medical experts, he could have popped off at any time for almost any cause or no cause at all. So there are no charges against Pauline.
Oh, that's great news. No charges, Pauline.
Oh, Richard.
Kimball, I think now's the time for me to ask you to find another man. I certainly cannot run after all this.
Will you please butt out of the committee's business? After all, you're just a candidate, and we're going to get you elected. The voters will love you. And we're going to tell them that Max Kiro loves you, too, and is putting $1 million into the campaign. And do you know why?
You overwhelm me. Why?
It's because you're a decent guy. And decent, honest men are hard to find these days. Goodbye, Governor. And give my best to Annie Oakley.
Kimball says that they still want me to run for governor. And he says to give his regards to Annie Oakley.
Annie Oakley?
Mm-hmm. A famous woman sharpshooter from the Old West.
Oh, sharpshooter, me?
That's right. You couldn't hit the side of a barn with the door closed. But I love you.
And 75 days later, when Richard Walters stood on the steps of the State House to take his oath of office, his smiling First Lady standing nearby with tears in the corner of her admiring eyes, he knew that it was worth all the problems and anguish. I'll be back shortly.
If you'd like to take advantage of the current high interest rates in today's money market, but want your money available when you need it, take a moment now to call this toll-free number, 800-228-5000. Ask the operator to send you information on Dreyfus Liquid Assets. Find out just how much income growth you can get from one of the world's largest money market mutual funds. With Dreyfus Liquid Assets, you have the advantage of making withdrawals by phone, or paying larger bills with free redemption checks and continue earning high yields, compounded daily till your check clears. You can put money in or take it out anytime with never a sales charge or a penalty. But call now, 800-228-5000 for free information and a prospectus, including management fee, charges, and expenses. 800-228-5000. Study the prospectus carefully before you invest and learn how Dreyfus Liquid Assets can help you get the lion's share from today's high interest rates. 800-228-5000. Toll free, 800-228-5000.
That Richard Walters learned in his few long weeks of pressure and blackmail. It was the fact that nothing is so cleansing as exposure to sunlight. Once the truth is told, all the chains that bind a victim to the blackmailer dissolve, disappear. And Richard Walters can now look ahead with renewed strength to the job that faces him. Our cast included Norman Rose, Terry Keane, Bernard Grant, and Ray Owen. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now a preview of our next tale.
Oh, look here. The drawer of my table. Why is it open?
Excuse me.
What are you picking up? My money box. It's been forced open. I had 10 kopecks of my own money in it. And stamps.
Are they all there?
Oh, yes. Oh, but look at the lock, all scratched. And look, everywhere. Everything thrown about. My linen basket. This isn't the way I folded my clothes. The bed is pulled apart. Oh!
Oh, Mashenka, are you all right? I mean, could I get you some water?
Why were they here? What were they looking for?
You were out with the children all day. You didn't know.
Didn't know what?
The mistress has lost a brooch worth $2,000.
This is Tommy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant
dreams. Wait for the apples to fall. You can pick the best apple, an affordable Apple II computer now at Farnsworth Computer Center in Aurora. Everyone has a special summer sale, and Farnsworth is no exception. This summer, you can buy an Apple II with a disk drive for $1,695. If you've been shopping for an Apple II, then you know that the Farnsworth price will save you nearly $500. Farnsworth Computer Center not only has special summer prices now, but it has a great stock of Apple software, quick delivery, and another great feature is that Farnsworth has an excellent repair center with knowledgeable people. Bring in your computer, and most of the time they can repair your computer on site while you wait. Where could you find all this in one store and a special summer price of $1,695 for the Apple II 48K and a disk drive with controller? That's Farnsworth Computer Center in Aurora, just off the east-west tollway at the Farnsworth South exit. Come see for yourself or call 851-3888. 851-3888.
We're back in Chicago on WBBM News Radio 78 at 11:25. Our weather tonight calls for decreasingly cloudy skies, an end of the showers, and a low of 60 degrees. Tomorrow in Chicago, it's going to be cloudy with not much change in temperature, somewhat less humid with a high of 75. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny and pleasant with a high in the low 80s. Right now at O'Hare Field, it's 62 degrees, 63 at Midway, 65 on Chicago's lakefront. The humidity's 93%, wind northeast at 16 miles per hour. It is raining, but all the severe weather warnings have expired. There are no longer any severe weather warnings in effect for the Chicago metro area. The severe storms have moved into northwest Indiana and southwest lower Michigan after unleashing 75 mile per hour winds at Midway Airport and pouring out just over 1 inch of rain on O'Hare Airport. No additional showers or thunderstorms are expected tonight, and there will be partial clearing by Wednesday morning. Negotiations in the Chicago school dispute concluded Tuesday night without a whit of progress. Diane Apt reports.
The talks broke up without even a hint of progress, and it was hardly a gabfest as the key actors emerged. First came Chicago Teachers Union President Robert Healy.
We made an agreement that we would make no comment except to say that we've been working and that we're going to be back at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Healy would not even respond to a charge made earlier by a school board member that the talks were deadlocked because of the union's refusal to give up anything. After Healy came the mayor. She said only, "We're still talking." Then the school board's chief financial officer, Joseph Marin.
Mr. Marin, is there any progress at all?
I can't say, ma'am.
Pardon?
I have no comment.
Yeah.
Next, Superintendent Ruth Love.
Well, I really don't have any comment on it today.
What were you doing in there for more than 8 hours?
Talking.
And finally, school board president Raul Villalobos.
I really have no comment.
Sources close to the negotiations told News Radio no real movement towards a settlement came out of the 10-hour session. Diane Apt, News Radio 78.
The WBBM News Time, 11:27.
This is Spectrum. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Pat O'Brien. You can tip your hat goodbye to one federal regulation that nobody needed. The Education Department has finally revoked a rule allowing students to file complaints about school dress codes, something long overdue. Back in the not-so-long-ago days when students and adults seemed to be clashing constantly over how kids dressed and looked, liberal indignation over so-called repressive school rules forcing conformity swept the federal government into a number of local controversies. It was a bad idea then, and it's an anachronism now. I've done an about-face on this one, I have to admit. I remember when one of my daughters was forced by a prudish teacher to kneel in front of her class to see if her miniskirt touched the floor. It didn't. She was sent home to change. That irritated me then, and it still does. After all, she was only 10 years old. Unfortunately, the social changes that swept this country during the 1970s sent some school administrators into a ridiculous dither over long hair and short skirts. I knew I didn't need recourse to the federal government to complain about how my daughter was treated. I handled it on my own, like most parents. However, the mood of the time was to demand federal intervention. We've got plenty of examples in our history of how Washington can respond too quickly to the emotions of change. Some of them have damaged lives and reputations permanently. Take a moment to remember, for example, all that happened when the anti-communism hysteria of the McCarthy era swept the country. The hard thing for many well-meaning politicians is to step back from the emotion and the rhetoric and rethink what the role of the federal government should be in a given situation. When I look back and remember the impassioned defenses of beards and long hair that seemed to pit individual rights against repression, it makes me want to laugh. Few people laughed back then. A lot of us got swept up into absolutist statements that just sound silly now. Maybe most absolutist statements end up looking empty after everyone's cooled off. Have I just grown more conservative? Oh, probably there's some of that. Now I think there's nothing wrong with sensible dress codes that reflect the mores of a particular community. I don't hate long hair, and I have nothing against miniskirts, but I also think a lot of kids should show more respect for their teachers and their schools. It won't hurt them. Wow, have I changed. So has this country. Goodbye, 70s, and goodbye to federal meddling in such burning issues as whether girls should be forced to wear bras or not. We've got more important things to think about. I'm Pat O'Brien for Spectrum.
Six personal opinions on Spectrum. Views not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
This is WBBM Chicago. Tuesday, the 24th of August, I'm Alan Bickley, and here are top stories on WBBM News Radio 78 at 11:30.